Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also live this morning from the busy streets 10 miles outside the city of New York. Pray for him. John Paul Ramos. Hola. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We want to say hello to all of our listeners. We're excited about all we're going to share with you. Do you know it is another week in the Lord? All the media has told you to be sad, but the Lord says, cheer up. I've overcome all this media.
Amen.
The Lord is so good. We've got so many things we're going to share with you today, but be encouraged. Grab your cup of coffee. We'll say hello to all of our Facebook fans out there. We're talking to you from all over the world. Good morning, Yulong from Hong Kong. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Jonathan. Joe Nathan, we can't wait to share what happened. My goodness, man. Give a shout out this morning to Peter. Peter, what a pleasure it was to see and to meet you, and glad to have you as a listener on BFN Radio. Give a shout out this morning to Bill Holzinger. Want you to know we're praying for you morning. That was a big chunk of knee. I saw that picture, man, on your Facebook. I'm glad that you're in recovery. We're praying for you, man. God is good, and you know he's our healer. Give a shout out to Houston this morning. Come on, girl. Nagina, let's do it. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Give a shout out to the Bronx this morning. Woo, Crystal, let's do it. All for Jesus today. Let's just glow in them subways. Let's just glow in them streets of Bronx. All for Jesus. Give a shout out this morning to my grandson, David. Hello, David. Whoa, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning, good morning.
And John Ramos, 10 miles outside the city of New York. 10
good
miles
morning,
outside
morning.
The city of, isn't that something? 10 miles, man.
10 miles.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad. You know, Monday mornings is so cool for you to join us on VFN Radio. You know, I know all of our audience loves listening to you, and I've loved listening to you for years. Now we get to kind of share our conversation with the world. I wonder what they were talking about. Now you know. Oh, my goodness, man. So how's it in the city today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, it's not as hot as it has been. I'd say we went through a major, major heat wave, and it's starting to cool down. So that is very, very good.
Yeah, you know, we're looking for a name, by the way. You know, we don't actually, it's not in the VFN TV blog. It's just, it's, you know, many, many visitors are coming and getting encouraged and getting information. But we're coming up with a name. So our listeners, you could help us find a new name, because really it's not a blog. It's a web page, but we just wanted to be able to direct you to it. And so we called it the VFN TV blog. We want to come up with a name. We don't know what it's going to be. So if you could send your suggestions to us, you know, you could send them to VFNTV.com and just submit your suggestions to name the what we call now the VFN TV blog. It's just loaded with just so much pertinent information and
wonderful stuff. I'm hearing awesome reports of how many people are just going there every day and are only reading and getting a chance to listen to the highlights of the program, but they're so encouraged. I've heard so many people tell me, you know, I didn't even hear, I never heard that before. I didn't even hear that. And so it's really great.
Yeah, you think about it again, we got so many different things. I mean, we're going to talk about either probably tomorrow, we'll be talking about, you know, more about Mormonism. What does that actually mean? You know, healthcare, you know, the Russian fashion show that we talked about. A lot of funny things are on there. Don't be robbed. You know, you know, don't let poverty rob you. There's a reason how things come to pass. Words of wisdom. I mean, so many wonderful things. So, you know, it's called right now the VFNTV blog. But really, it's not a blog. So we're going to be changing it. We have so many things we're updating as we speak. There's so many things happening behind the scenes. You're going to be totally amazed as it comes out. But we're just taking our time and letting God lead us little by little. And it's just really cool. But one thing I really have on my heart is I want to change it from the name of VFNTV blog, because it is a place that we connect with you. It's a way that we take what we say to a deeper, more peripheral explanation, resources, you know, because on the radio, you just don't have a lot of time to be able to explain a lot of things, and you can just briefly talk about it. But, you know, we can talk 10% about it on the radio, and we can put the rest of it available for you on the website. And so that's what we're doing. You know, in addition to that, of course, we have the highlights and all the things. The next wave of the VFN TV and Daily Radio Program app is so beautiful. You know, they were showing it to me, you know, how it works and how the details work, and it's just so cool. I love the company. You know, we'll talk more about the company in the future. But really soon, I mean, probably within, you know, a week or so, our Android users are going to be up and running with it. And what's that?
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting.
Is that not cool? But it's just, you know, it's just bringing what God has encouraged so many with on a mass scale to the world. And it's just really neat, you know, how that works.
Wow. Speaking about the blog, you know, which we're looking for a new name now, but I had a chance to, over the 4th of July weekend, to listen with my boys to the Star Spangled Banner and how that the song actually came to pass. That was so cool. We just pulled it up and we had a chance to watch the video there and go a little bit deeper. And we actually heard that segment of the radio program, but that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is so important. You know, we got to remember one particular segment that we have in all of it, on the next phase of our next version of our app. You know, it's going to have original intent. You're going to be able to go right to the original intent conversations about the church and original intent conversations about America. You know, and, you know, my desire is that America stands, but the original intent of the church will always stand. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have both of those. They're not intertwined, but we believe that the church came to America. Christians came, the pilgrims came. And if you didn't get a chance to see the movie, and you can see more about this on the VFNTV blog, is you go to VFNTV.com to see it, but to get to it. But the actor Kirk Cameron wrote a
monumental,
I guess.
The movie.
Yeah, the monumental movie. And I went to it, you know, and you have this thing in your heart.
It's monumental or the movie?
It's monumental. And so the... you just think you're alone. You're looking around and you're going, are the minds that blind? I mean, do people not really see? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, is there any hope? I mean, because if people don't see where you're going, if you're walking, taking a long walk off a short pier and you're looking around and go, don't you see it's a short pier? You know, you start worrying. But then I went to the theater. It was in the middle of the day because it was like some sort of, you know, intro to the movie or something.
Screening or something?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, screening. And I went there. And it was just packed. It was like, it was not standing room only, but I don't know how theaters normally are, but, you know, in New York, I'm sure they're packed, or Jersey or whatever, but it was packed in the middle of the day. And I remember, you know, we had one of our leaders that a lot of our leaders were in this particular theater, and they were looking for hope for America. They're looking for hope. And how do we recapture this? And it started off anyway. So I had one of the leaders coming in, and you couldn't see, you know, how you come from outside of a theater and you go inside the theater and your eyes take time to adjust. Right.
Yeah.
And wisdom says, stay in one place till they adjust. Right. Well, I have one particular leader in our area. One of our leaders, and he was trying to find his way up. And bless his heart, he's like, I was joking with him. I said, he's like, he's putting his hands on people's faces trying to find a seat. And of course, everybody else can see you really clear because their eyes adjusted already. So you might as well wait till your eyes adjust. He's a good guy. But it was so funny. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to wait next time my eyes adjust before I do something like that. But there was no seat. So you're used to at least having one or two seats. And so you had people that were like in their 80s had to go sit up front. Mm-hmm. Wow. The front where you're actually looking straight up at a movie. You know, probably they saw was Kirk's feet. After a while, you can't even look up like that. And so, but he talked about, you know, first he opened it up with a live worship right from his house. He had his father and his friends over at his house, and they had a guitar, and they were playing, just worshiping Jesus, man. Just worshiping Jesus at his house. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about his quest, you know, for, you know, what's going on. He realized, I got to quit pointing at everybody else, tell them to do something. I need to do something about it. And that's what we're about. We're saying, look, we've got to get active, and we got to grab a hold of this thing called the church and the nation and say, Lord, help us, you know, bring it back to where you want it to be, you know. And so he did. The movie he came up with, he wanted to trace the roots of the Pilgrims. And you can see about this on the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com. But it's going to be released soon on DVD. You got to get it because it'll rock your world. It's not what history. They rewrote history. They rewrote history. You know, history, you know, it was bad enough when you were in school and you're a young kid and you're having to learn things.
Hello.
But if they're teaching you the things you didn't even, wasn't even real, come on. Every kid would be like, just why teach me that? Let's just tell me nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But they rewrote history. They're pulling things out. They're saying things that are not true. And so he takes us from the pilgrimage of the Pilgrims right there where they were originally, and the Puritans, as the queen would call them, that was actually not a positive thing, you Puritans. It was like a spitting word, Puritans, because they convicted her because she was actually over the church, you know, the Queen of England. And so anyway, the whole migration, how it all came out. You got to get it. If you have not seen it, you'll be so encouraged. And so the movie finished. Everybody stood up, and they applauded. They were just it was so encouraging.
I would imagine, because after you're wondering what's going on, you're thinking, thank you, Kirk. You know, someone's stand with us.
And then, and thank you, Americans, because there are you are not alone. Listen, you feel like you're alone, and you're quiet because you look around and say, if I say something right now, I'm at, you know,
right.
You know, people who are for this. Mm-hmm. Or people that just want to get away with darkness, you know, who don't want sin to be called sin. And then, you know, all these different things, you think they'll smash you. But you know what? It's better to be smashed for Jesus, you know, than burned for the world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we got to get that again. Our founding fathers, you know, were laid that out for us. And so I want to encourage you, you're not alone. If you are feeling as if you are thinking things are crazy, they are. They're very crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You know, insanity is this. This is insanity. Do you remember the war in Iraq in the beginning of the days when they were there, and he had his press guy, his PR guy. You know, America's just pounding Iraq with Moab, the mother of all bombs, and they're hoping that they could actually just do it at the beginning and get it over with and come back. And so the whole place is just being, you know. You tilled, if you would. And with that, the press dude's on the air saying, everything's fine, everything's wonderful, we are winning, it's victory. You think, like, it's crazy, you know, insanity. And that's actually how that's how the adversary works. You don't don't believe the press. You know, don't believe when people are saying, you know, everything's fine. But in your heart, in your spirit, you're going, it's not fine. Follow that voice inside of you. Follow the unction of the Holy Spirit. And it's sad to say, you know, many people will be deceived in the last days. This is deception. And we'll talk about that tomorrow, you know, more about it. But deception is what you think you're doing for God. You're not. You know, when you profess a faith in another Jesus, you know, another Jesus is like, he's got the same name, but his whole makeup's different. You know, everything about him is different. And that's not, it's not the same thing. It's called deception. And he says many people will be deceived in the last days. And so with that, if your spirit man's crying out and you want so bad, this has always been me. I want so bad to go, no, no, come on. You know, as I'm being punched in the face by reality. Is that not true?
This is true.
I'm like, no, did he really hit me? Right?
Again?
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And Pat's going, no, don't do it again. I'm like, it might work this time. You know, it's like Joseph, you know, Joseph's like, you know, why can't we just all get along? And the truth is that what the church gets along with is the church. It doesn't get along with the world. It doesn't get along with Korah's rebellion, those that are going against the ways of God. It doesn't get along with those who are trying to profit off of gifts like Baal. I mean, it doesn't, you're not going to get along. You're only going to get along with lovers of Jesus. And if you bump into a lover of Jesus and you talk about your love for Jesus, let me tell you something. I mean, we got some people in the VFN family right now in, you know, Pastor Brett and Sharon's church in VFN Denver, you know, that she's still trying to learn her English, you know, and she's migrating from the Spanish language. And they love Jesus. They just love Jesus. You know, you don't even need you. That's how. And so we got to get back to our first love again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that complicated. If it was that complicated, think about it. If it was that complicated, I wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Go look at my GPA. I'm serious. You know, and for years, you know, I sat down with those that mentored me and others. And I would say, explain to me all these different variations of whatever they go, listen, you don't need to know it. Because they knew it was just division and outside of the simplicity of the gospel. And today, now here we are having to explain Mormonism to a church who doesn't even know that there can be another Jesus, you know, preached. And this is real. I mean, this is totally real because, I mean, you have people, you know, and God's watching us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
The fear of the Lord.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. You know, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're not even thinking about the eyes of the Lord are watching you. You know, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking whose heart is totally dependent on him. God is watching us. I mean, you talk about the will within a will filled with the eyes of the Lord. I mean, he's got some eyes now. He can see what's going on. He knows everything that was and is and will be, and he knows it at the same time. He totally exists outside of time. He loves you and has a plan for your life, but if you're trying to be all sneaky and stuff, you can't do that. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what's going on. You know, religions may have convinced you that you can build a syndicate. You can actually build a consensus. You can network with people, and you can get enough people on your side, like Korah did, trying to come against what God's established, which was Moses, for example, and you can win. But you got to understand, the ground splits under you. It doesn't work. It doesn't end well. And all those that you're bringing along with you, it's not going to end well for them. And so you don't want to do that. You just want to know that God knows what's going on. And just serve them.
Right.
Serve them. You know, just serve the Lord. Be faithful in your generation. And right now, during our season of our generation, you know, we have to talk about what is, you know, what's actually happening. Believe it or not, you know, we don't support any political candidate, but we talk about their values and what they stand for and their issues. And it's important to me. Man, it burns in my heart is about the issues of family and parenting and mothering and fathering and candidates that are blaming parents. They're blaming parents.
Mm-hmm.
They said this is what one candidate professes, that the whole problem in society, the whole problem of society now, is bad parenting. You know, and if it wasn't for bad parenting, society wouldn't be like it is today. We not. First of all, you know, I worked for years with parents. You know, I was in law enforcement, and I saw, you know, single parents, single mothers, single fathers, and two parent households. I worked with a father and son camping trip. We did that. Remember trying to find mentors for these mothers who love their children so much they tried to get a mentor in their life, and it was hard to find. You know, I always say, you know, I learned the statement that so many women say, you know, because we had to go find men to be with these boys to be able to go in the wilderness to be able to mentor them and that type of thing. And I said, oh, it's hard to find a good man.
Right.
And it was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like it was her fault. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the mother's fault, Pat.
Right.
She was doing everything she could. It was that man who didn't respond in society's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that leader of that whole thing that wouldn't even fund that thing.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the parents' fault. She was crying out, trying to find anybody to be able to help her in the process of raising her child because her child's father had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, that that there's two parent households. There's two parent households that love their children, and they're doing everything too within their own power that they can do, and they're praying and they're disciplining, they're doing everything, and they still, just like the single mother has a child that might not listen to her or listen to him, two parent households have children that don't listen to them. It doesn't mean that she's a bad parent. Society is not her fault.
Right.
Oh, right. Excuse me, I'm just having a moment. And so listen. And then these two parents who cry at night because their children are in rebellion. Mm. These parents who just try everything within their strength and their unction to be able to parent their children. And who loves them more than their parents, right? Who is willing to do whatever it takes because they love them, you know? And then they still have a child that rebels or have a children that are in rebellion. And it doesn't mean society's their fault. It doesn't mean they're bad parents. And then, but just to top it off, let's just think about it. That God, Father God, he's a parent.
Mm-hmm.
He has children. He loved us so much that he gave his only son for us to die for us. And he still has children who don't listen to him and who rebel against his ways. That does not make God a bad parent, and society is not the fault of God.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's because of rebellious children. That just irks me because we've been out there and you're emasculating men, you're blaming families, and you need to support families, and you're working on both ends of the demonic equation when you sit here and you sit there and blame society on them, but when they do discipline them, when they do discipline their child, you go and you arrest them in their household.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you put the fear over those parents, and now the same devil that was attacking their children is now used you to attack their parents. And now there's no hope for that child because the proverb says if you don't discipline them, there's no hope.
That's right. That's right.
And so the issue then is not parenting. God is not a bad father, and he's not a bad parent.
Right.
The issue is rebellious children.
That's right.
Rebellious people, children of all ages, not just juvenile children. And we have to repent and we have to come to God. But think about it. Parents are being arrested for spanking their children.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, corporal punishment in the state that, you know, that we're located in is actually a legal thing inside the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, and you check your laws in your state, but we're allowing. Let me tell you who makes the laws. Let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you who makes the laws. Your representative makes the law. Congress makes the law. We're the ones who put those people in office.
Right.
We're the ones that send them there. Listen, they're not telling us what to do. We're supposed to be telling them what to do. If they tell you you cannot discipline your children according to the ways of God, replace them.
Mm.
Listen, society is weighing in the balance. Only 4% of children in the world even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God right now, and it's because that we left the ways of God and our family and parents that are trying to raise their children. God's way has all the church in the world that are going not all the church, but a lot of the churches go in the way of the world, and it's not, and it's like the church is turning into church, like in the times. What are you doing for spanking? You know, right. Come on. And so the very same institution in law. Because it's a representative government, is what I'm saying. That, you know, it says our pledge of allegiance is a pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God, and to the republic, mm-hmm. not to the democracy for which it stands. To the republic, it's a republic, which means we have representative government. They represent us. They're supposed to read the laws and bring them back to us. Or the bills, and they bring them back to us. We discuss that with them, and then we say, listen, the majority of that community says this is how we want you to go, and this is what they do. No constitutional officer should say their hands are tied. Not one of them should say their hands are tied. Listen, wake up. This is a government by the people and for the people, and this is a serious, serious issue. It's not about what all these political aspirations people have, wanting their name in the headlights. We just want a man or woman who loves God and who fears God and who will be a representative of us that will go into and represent our values and right. what we stand for. And listen, if the church doesn't wake up and quit trying to go the world's way of how to raise a family, we're not going to have a family. Look at the families being totally... I mean, it's amazing what's happening to the family right now and how it's being redefined, and the church is sleeping while it's taking place and adapting it. So listen, the very same one that comes to your house, and I've seen parents who just spank their child, they'll come to their house, and they will take the child, and they will go investigate. They'll question the parents like they're. I mean, I was 10 years in. I was in law enforcement, so I know what that they're feeling like. They're feeling humiliated. The parents are being. I mean, first of all, if you had to discipline your kid as it is, if you had to discipline your kid, what's that?
They're feeling shamed. You know, the parents are feeling shamed and ostracized there.
Well, it's horrific enough that you had to discipline your kid, but now you have this whole state coming against you, partnering with a rebellious child. Who just, probably knocked the stew out of their sibling, right. to something they need to discipline. And now you actually go in there and take their parents in front of them and question them like they're a suspect when you have an entire institution set up with lawyers, nurses, doctors, and all this kind of stuff, all against the parent, which you're being funded by tax dollars. And I think we should unfund anything that's against the family.
That's good.
And then this is what happens. If they think, despite what God says, that parent disciplined their child differently, then they arrest that parent. They arrest that parent. But see, you gotta understand. Listen, I've been the police. I'll tell you what's gonna happen. They're gonna take that kid, girl or boy, and they wouldn't let you just spank them. Listen to me. They wouldn't even let the person spank them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now they're going to take that kid, the same kid that they partnered with in his or her rebellion, and they're going to take metal handcuffs. And they're going to take, not only they're going to take handcuffs and put it on his arms, but they're actually going to take or his hands or her hands. They're going to put them behind his back. They're going to take metal devices and put it. Can you imagine if a parent? Could you imagine if a parent that in today's world took handcuffs and put it on a rebellious child? A teacher can't even restrain a kid nowadays in the school. This is a sign of a fallen society. When everything's upside down, listen. Mm-hmm. This is a sign of a fallen society. The only way it can unfall is for us to get up and begin to do things right. And people that have never parented. And let me tell you something else. First, I want to say this. I know I'm on my soapbox, but I got to talk about this.
Good stuff. We need to hear this. This is good stuff.
That I want you to know, first of all, that God forgives sin. He forgives sin. He will forgive you. But what I'm about to talk about, I want you to know, I'm not coming from a place of condemnation. I'm coming from a place like, what are you thinking? that so many children are being aborted. They're being aborted. They're being killed in their mother's womb. They're killing their kids. They're putting saline solution in the baby's womb to suffocate it, to kill it. They're pulling the baby partially out of the mother's womb, and they're taking the back of the head, and they're taking scissors and pushing it in the back of the baby's head, and they're killing the baby in partial birth abortion, and they're killing their babies. Why they look at you and criticize you for disciplining your kid? Ma'am, you killed your baby.
Wow.
We chose to have them. Get your nose out of our business. Legislatures, get up. Wake up. Be a man. Be a woman of God. Let's get back and empowering parents to discipline their kids. These very same law enforcement officers, which I totally support law enforcement officers, but the leaders, the constitutional officers that lead them, need to get some guts like the sheriff and the legislators in other states out there that sit here and say that... they're going to stand up for their people. You need to stand up for parents, America. All you constitutional officers, you need to stand up for the parents, because the law enforcement is going to come in. If the constitutional officers don't stand up for the parents, the officers have to do what the particular leader is going to tell them to do, which is the constitutional leader. Right. And they'll come in there and take the same kid they wouldn't let you spank. They will take metal, hard handcuffs and cuff them behind their back. And I don't blame the officer, because if the kid's rebellious and the kid's going to fight, if the she or the girl or the boy is going to fight the officer, that's restraining them for their own guts. It's actually a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But not for a parent for some reason. Right. I'm talking about putting cuffs, but just to do what discipline. And then they actually put, like, you know how dogs have a kennel, right? They have a kennel that you can put your dog in, a kennel where you can put him or her in there, and you can lock him up in the smell, because he's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're going to take your kid, the same one they wouldn't let you discipline, that said that you actually shouldn't spank your kid, and they're going to not only put metal handcuffs behind their back, which they need to do because the kids are probably being rowdy or whatever and for their own safety, but they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to stick him in a kennel, a dog cage. Well, it's the back seat of a car that has metal all around it, and they're in cage. They're putting your kid in a cage, and they wouldn't even let you spank them. And we're funding institutions to come against the family. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, parents, we're just beginning our conversation, but we're for you. God's for you. God's designed you. Family is of God. We got to figure it out again, because the enemy's attacked us so much. But not only did they not let you spank your child or try to come against you or accuse you of things. And church, you better wake up. If the Lord sees you turning someone because they spanked, you call the police because they spanked their kid. Right. You ought to be, the Lord just, I just pray the Lord would just close down your whole whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. You're part of the problem. And so then not only do they put your kid in a cage, they'll actually, if your kid acts up, and a rebellious kid will, right? They'll take I'm going back in history because it's actually higher than that now. They'll actually take an electric device and they will tase your kid. Mm-hmm. They'll tase them. They'll send 65,000 plus volts of electricity to them until they hit the ground, you know?
Wow.
It's just something. It's like, I just wanted to spank them.
Right.
Now they're like flopping on the ground like they have epilepsy.
Out of water, yeah.
You know, and they go to a trial. They'll go to a trial, and rightfully so, because the officer had to defend his or herself. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, look at the opposite bipolar responses here. Right. You know, and so the officer will go before a jury of his peers, and he will be acquitted because he's supposed to be able to do that. It makes sense. The officer should protect himself. The officer should protect society. The officer is supposed to do that. If that happens, then the officer responds. That's just the way it's supposed to be. But so are parents. Parents should have the same right to be able to defend their siblings and their family if they have a rebellious child. They should be able to defend society by disciplining their child while there's still yet time to be able to discipline them. Not only that, listen, they will take your same kid and they will strip him or her naked in a jail and search them from head to toe and then put them in a cage with a murderer. Now, listen, you were just trying to tell them to quit hanging out with a local drug dealer. Now you actually put them in jail with 10 of them. It's crazy. It's like, really? Is this really? Is this really it? You know? So, understand this. That and then if he doesn't listen, if she or he does not listen, and then you're going to take him and you're going to sentence him or her to jail, and you're going to lock him up in a 10 by 10 or 8 by 10 cell with a little 2-inch mattress with somebody that's got more tattoos than the 16th Chapel has paintings on them in there. Nothing against tattoos, but understanding this, but they don't say I love Jesus on the tattoos.
Yeah, right.
And they have to actually ask permission to pass each other. It's so close. They're sharing the same toilet and the same sink, and you get on to a parent for telling somebody to go to their room? Oh my goodness. What is your problem? You need to reason with them. Yeah, it looks like you're reasoning with them. You just locked him up in a cell for an 8x10 cell for 10 years. Oh my goodness. And then get this.
Yeah.
Get this.
Yeah.
If, in fact, they don't listen and they continue to do this, they will take them and they will take a needle. I mean, they have all kinds of mechanisms, you know. Mm-hmm. If they don't listen, if they don't drop the gun or drop the weapon, they shoot them and kill them. As officers, you don't get trained to shoot and wound. You know, if you're going to pull the gun, you shoot to kill. We call that the K5 zone. It's all the kill zones. And so you shouldn't pull your gun if you're not planning on using it, you know, if you need to use it. And, you know, and so with that, this is the old training. I don't know what it is now. And but it's not like the movies, like shoot him in the leg. It's like, yeah, I'm not right. that good a shot. I'm gonna have to take you down. And so they kill him. They kill the kid. They kill the kid. And society goes, this is good.
Right. Wow.
You think about it. And so, because he or she was rebellious. Mm-hmm. And then if that doesn't work, you know, that will work. But if that doesn't stop it, and he's, you know, he or she's carrying on doing continue to do things, then they'll take them. And if they harm somebody else badly or kill somebody themselves, then they will take them and they will take poison and they'll lay them on a table and they'll stick a needle in your kid's arm, you know, and eject poison into their arm to kill them, and they'll kill them. It's called death by lethal injection. Or in the state of Florida, they will actually take sponges, wet sponges, and put it on your kid's head, put a metal hat on, strap them to a wooden chair, put metal things on their feet, and they'll send so much electricity through them, amperage, they will electrocute your kid to death. I mean, come on. Come on, listen. They're lying to you. You're supposed to be able to discipline your kid. They're supposed to back you up. The officer should stand there. We've got to just replace our constitutional officers. Just replace them all. It's a republic. We can do that. They're supposed to represent us. The church needs to rise up. And the problem is, and a lot of it is that, you know, we realize that, you know, we need to repent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead and repent. And let's start this journey back to God's way of doing things. I know that this is so important. It's nobody's hands are tied in America because we, the people, loose them. We're the ones that send them and tell them this is what you need to do. And for ministers that are not partnering with family, you know, you are tearing families apart. You need to get back in the Word of God and find out what God says about family. You need to support family, and you don't need to emasculate the men and partner up with his wife and all of a sudden build a syndicate or attack against their father and their husband, just like the government's doing now.
Right.
Oh, it's just, oh my goodness. It's time. Listen, men are so significant in the context of things that every attack plan is against them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is set up to be able to emasculate them, to pull them out, to seduce them out, to push them out. You know, the laws forever have been, you know, in the context of if somebody's going to go, it's going to be the husband. It's going to be the father. But, you know, with statistics saying, you can see this, and we'll put this on the, make sure we put this up on the VFN TV blog, that statistics say the second that man walks out of that house and he walks out of that family, that everything's downhill from there.
Right.
And mainly for your children.
Right.
And the enemy may convince you it's a good idea today to do it, but statistics say it just goes on for days, and your children will lose out because of that. Why not have just done what was right and pray for each other, you know, in the context of that? But think about it. So getting back to what I was saying in regards to that, you just wanted to spank your child. You didn't want to cuff them. You didn't want to beat them with a flashlight. You didn't want to shoot them. You didn't want to eject them. You didn't want to encage them. You didn't want to do all these things that happen. You just wanted them to make it. You know, you talked to the creator of the universe when you read his word, and he said, listen, if you love your child, you'll discipline them. You'll discipline her. You'll discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, true love is being willing to discipline, you know, and say the tough things and do the tough things because you want them to make it. Listen, we can change this government. We need to change it. It is not just about taxes, church. It is about families, because when the family's right, then the nation's going to be right. The nation's going to be right. You know, I remember there was a man that he was working, and his son kept on, you know, you know, kind of wanting to get with him, and you know, he's trying to get a job done. He's like, son, here. Listen, he took this picture of the world, and he took it and he ripped it all up. It was a magazine page, and he ripped it all up, and he said, here, put this together, put the world back together again. And so then the man went back to work. He said, this will keep them together, and because he don't know how, he's a kid, he's not going to know how the world fits together.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a few moments later, he comes back and he says, I did it, Daddy. And he goes, how did you do it so quick? He says, oh, it was really easy because on the other side, there was a picture of a man. And I found out when I got the man together, the world came together on the other side.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
So, you know, we're passionate. Think about our hearts cry for so long. Listen, we have proven track record. We are for the family. We've heard fathers cry in the wilderness because all of this was against them, and all they wanted to do was to love God and love their family, and everything came against them, and every demon in hell tried to infest any person that was in rebellion to be able to remove them, to emasculate them, to shame them, to take them out, to get them to stop being the man that God's called them to be. And I want to say this, and we're gonna go to a break. And I know, John, you got something you want to share with us this morning. I can't wait to hear it. But they brought in Mother's Day cards at an all-males prison.
Right.
You can listen to this. The end result is if you don't let them discipline and partner with parents to be able to discipline their kids, you know, you're not better at it, because the jails in America are filled with more prisoners than anybody else in the world.
Right.
But it's an all-male prison. They go into the prison. They bring in Mother's Day cards, and they want to, you know, kind of get them back in relationship with their parents again or whatever. And so they come out there, and they take, I think it was Hallmark, and they took so many Mother's Day cards, they had to come back and restock for more Mother's Day cards in this all-male prison. Think about it.
Right.
And so this is so good, we need to do this for Father's Day.
Right.
And so they, same company, same prison, same men, come out there and they put in Father's Day cards. Not one man, who is somebody's kid, by the way, not one man came out to get one Father's Day card.
Wow.
To send to his father. Think about it. Listen, there's been a strategy against the father, a total strategy against the father, and it's not in people's minds or nothing. It's Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and principalities, and it's a spiritual thing. And but God says this, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. The solution, the preparation for our Lord's return, is to fix this problem at the cross with the word of God. And he says this, and if the hearts don't turn, then he'll smite the earth with a curse. Listen, fathers, you're significant. Ma'am, do not emasculate your husband in front of your kids. You go off to a quiet place to be able to talk together way outside their earshot of your child. Constitutional officers, read your Bible. Find out what God says about family and decide whether you're going to stand with God or not stand with God. And if you don't stand with them, stand up and say you don't stand with them, so people can either vote you in or vote you out based on where you stand with the family. Because the world does not determine how family goes. God has designed family, and God determines how it goes. So I'm going to get off my soapbox for a moment, but this has been my heart's cry for so long, and we're going to talk more about that, but just realize the dichotomy of that. The very ones that are saying you can't spank your child are going to treat your child like that. You know, if they just would let you do what you need to do to be able to discipline your child, God's way of disciplining, you know, which is out of love, you know, and it's not because it's about changing behavior. It's not about the punishment aspect of it. Then maybe you wouldn't have done all that to that poor child, because every man, every woman, no matter how old they are, by the way, is somebody's child.
Right.
And God loves them. Mm. And he said, if you love them, then discipline. Even God himself says, consider hardship as disciplining, because a father disciplines those that he calls sons. And he says this in the King James Version. He says, of the Bible, he says, and if you don't discipline, you're a bastard child. And so the very fact of that if you're being disciplined by your parents, you better thank God for that, because they could have just walked out on you. Why, what's their motivation? Think about it. What's their motivation? Okay, die. You know,
right.
Call the police. We already know what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, What's their motivation? Their motivation, daughter, their motivation, son, is they love you. Who else cares about you right now? Nobody knows you yet. You haven't lived long enough for somebody to know you. They're wanting you to make it. They understand. They have wisdom. And God will honor you submitting to your parents in the context of that. And even if they're not perfect at how they're doing it, the Lord says it's good and that you need to be able to connect to that and realize they're loving on you. They are loving on you. We'll talk more about this, but realize this is a government by the people and for the people, and I don't care who they are. You got to define them. Remember, we got to put some stuff together for our values in the context of family. We've got to carry them to the candidates, and we got to say, how do you stand on these values? And we got to make them available to our listeners, because it's just time for us to redefine, or not a new definition, but get back to the original definition of family. To get back to the original definition of family. And so understanding that son, daughter, your parents are loving on you. They're loving on you when they're disciplining you. You know, you discipline those you love. We're going to talk more about this. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you know, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you just want to know the way of God. You want to know what He wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right.
Which is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by His Spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for Him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, say, man, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, maybe you're called to for a church plant, that there's something inside of you, you've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around, or a nation around, or America around, is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. It's for you. What if we began to make progress instead of digression that's taking place, that George Bonner reports about the statistical decline, the massive exodus of the young people in what we call the traditional expression of the church? What if things turned around? We are dropping the ball, Peter Wagner says. We are dropping the ball, Steve Hill says. As a matter of fact, listen to him. I'll be right back.
Gospel, because we're not making progress.
I have some very strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
And what we see in America, as you've just said, Steve, can be very discouraging. I mean, we have dropped the ball terribly here in this country. In the last century, we didn't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
There were people were strong in the Lord. There were people who were going to church. There were people who wanted to see the kingdom of God come. Now that we've gone into the 21st century, we've dropped the ball. But now what God has done is He's tossed the ball to some other countries,
mm-hmm.
like China.
Okay.
I mean, China, I used to think until last week that China had the greatest church growth in the world. It did have the greatest harvest of souls from 1976 after the Cultural Revolution with the rural underground church. The greatest national harvest of souls in all history.
Yeah.
And I believe there are about 140 million Christians in China now, which would be 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. And I used to think India was second, that India was about there, but not quite there. Last week, I was with some Indian leaders who told me, even though I insisted, I cross-examined them, I almost told them they were wrong. They wouldn't back down. India is 25% Christian now. Mm-hmm. That is an amazing, amazing statistic.
You think about that. You know, it's hard for us, as much pride as we've had in America, to realize that America has not been the greatest advancement of the church. It's China.
Mm-hmm.
China has, like Peter Wagner just said, has the greatest harvest ever known through a simple Book of Acts church planting movement, a rapid church planting movement. That's it. It's a rapid church planting movement. The difficulty to understand is that that God has set his son over his church as the Lord of the church, and his spirit moves amongst us. So you can't be involved in a rapid church planting movement if you're not allowing the spirit of God to do whatever he wants to do. Let me tell you, everything applies. Our personal experiences, we began to step out as I was a traditional pastor, founding work, even before that, worked on a staff and did all those different things. What I've never seen, even in the midst of revival that was so awesome, the things that I've seen God do. Listen, it put the fear of God in. When you start seeing Ananias and Sapphira, you begin to see, Eli, you begin to see miracles, signs and wonders and provision and just so many different things. Listen, we can do it. We can trust God. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. That's exactly what our goal is. Our goal is to do exactly what Peter Wagner and Steve Hill was talking about. We have been building foundation for what? For a rapid church planting movement. It's going to be like the rapids. I mean, you think about it. This is the word the Lord gave me. And the original sense of the call was, of what we've been planning and building, is it's going to be like the rapids. And what VFN is nothing but a paddle, as this whole move of God is just flying down the river. And we just stick VFN in the water and kind of keep it off the rocks, because it just happens so quick. It's like a tidal wave. Don't you want to be a part? Don't you want to be a part? I know Dr. Michael Brown said this. Listen, if you want to be a part of what God's doing, find out what he's doing and dive in. Find out more right now at vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Oh, my goodness. I kind of got on my soapbox there. My heart just breaks for the parents. My heart breaks for them when I see them struggling to save their children from the turmoil, and society is against them, and everything is against, those values of them having a family. And while at the same time, everybody's mesmerized by families that function, God's way of doing it. If you look at the, 18 and Enough or whatever that program was on television, Discovery Channel, they have a lot of viewers and listeners because
they're watching a Christian family.
Yeah, they're so wanting to be a part. They're wondering how could that actually happen? How could that actually happen? And it's just God, raising your family
God's way.
God's way. Raising your family God's way. And so, with that, I want to tell you that you can find out more about that. We're going to put some things on the VFN TV blog, and it's just amazing, just totally amazing, what's happening. So, John, talk to us this morning. You were talking to me a little bit before our program today. Share with us.
Oh my goodness! Well, I'm so excited. I'm so encouraged by what you just shared with us, because, right now I'm getting ready to take my son on a very special trip, on a journey. We've worked so hard over the years, 10 years working with the fatherless boys in this community, with fathers and sons. I personally have I've worked as a youth pastor and worked for the Department of Juvenile Justice and even worked at foster homes. And we see firsthand what has happened to the children in our society when you know, the parents are not able to be there for them. Okay. And so here, my son's getting ready to go into junior high school, and having been to junior high myself, okay, and having worked with young people, we really find that this is a really testing time in their life. And I felt led, you know, my wife and I were just been praying for the Lord, how we're going to help our sons, our children. We also have two daughters as well. But in this case, my son, about how he can grow into the man that God's called him to be.
I mean, that's so cool. You think about it, it's exactly what, you know, how it's supposed to happen. You know, we're talking about, you know, parenting and family in the first part of the hour here. And we're going to be coming, you know, probably not going to have enough time to explain it all, because we're going to carry this over into the extra hour.
Right.
But you're doing, you know, what we as parents need to do. You know, growing up doesn't just happen. I mean, you can get older, but I'll talk to some people. It didn't happen yet.
Mm-mm.
And so I'm sorry, but go ahead. Yeah, this is so cool. So you're going to be taking your boy and go ahead.
I'm going to be taking my son here actually this week on a rite of passage.
Oh my goodness, that's so cool.
It is very, very cool. It's a rite of passage. We call it the Journey into Manhood, and this is going to be a time, you know,
How old will he be?
He's 12, so he's getting ready to go into the middle school, and he went and checked out his new school. He says, "Dad, this is a big school with others," you know. And so we feel as parents that, you know, especially my role as a father is to impart and to raise my son, you know, in the ways that he should go in God's way. So we're going to be spending about 4 days, 5 days out in the wilderness, camping out there
in the woods.
In the woods.
Wow. What part of the country?
We're going to be in Pennsylvania, on the Delaware River.
Oh my, the Delaware, where George Washington. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's a special part up there where the state of New York, the state of New Jersey, and Pennsylvania just all connect in this one little like area.
It's a beautiful area, isn't it?
Oh, it's gorgeous, breathtaking mountains. It's just wonderful to be out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
He's so looking forward to this because you think about a rite of passage. You know, we've heard of bar mitzvahs and basically it's a transitional period of time where someone goes through this process that during that transitional period of time they're kind of reintroduced into their family, into their group as a new person. Whatever mm-hmm. that transition was, we do it with our military. We take a young man and we put him in a uniform. We take him outside of his environment, his family, his friends. We put him through all this type of training. We give him a gun, and when he's all done from basic training, we say, "You're a soldier."
Yeah, right.
you're a soldier.
That's the truth.
You didn't become a soldier in 12 weeks.
That's actually how they did when I was a police officer.
You're a police now.
Well, I just didn't want to be in carpentry. I was in carpentry, and I was building, digging, toting, and stuff. And I enjoy. Obviously, I was working in construction at a very bad time, and was during the Carter administration, so interest rates were like 3,000%, and I got offered a position thanks to Adrian Kirksey, and just a real awesome man who's gone to be with the Lord now, and he just called me up and said, "You want to be the police?" And I'm sitting at a hardware store. I know we're coming to the end of the hour, but I'm sitting at a hardware store picking up lumber to go build another house, and I thought, yeah. And there are those people that always, what they think, go like,
yeah,
they always wanted to be the police. They were arresting their siblings, you know, those kind of people.
Right.
Which are good. I mean, it's good to be called to be the police. but me, I wasn't. And so I had to figure that out. And next thing you know, I couldn't believe it. And they finally said, "Okay, here's your car. Here's your car." We had to go across the street because we didn't want to ask anybody else. And I can tell you who they are. But there's an officer who's working today. We went across the street to a store. There was a store across the street from the sheriff's department. And they gave us these things called keepers. But keepers are these things that keep your regular belt to your gun belt. And so your belt don't go up and down. It ties your belt to your belt. And so we didn't want to ask nobody because they would think we're supposed to know or something. So we went across the street to the store and we asked them, like, "What are these things?" You know? And he says, "Oh, they're keepers." And he explained it to us. I won't tell who that is because they work in the streets of the day. Well, God bless you. End of the first hour. What a wonderful time. We look forward to picking up the conversation with John about manhood.
in the extra hour. God bless. And those that can't join us for the extra hour, make sure you pick it up on the highlights. You can go to the highlights. You can see it also at VFNTV.com. God bless and have a wonderful day. We'll see you in the extra hour or tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.